Okay, dear Venerables, now Tuesday, 2nd of November, we have about 1 hour for the English medium discussion. So we have the pointed topics of Sutta Nipata, Paramattaka Sutta. Before going into the appointed Sutta, if anyone is having any other things to be expressed or any question on topic or any kind of thing, remark. Before going to the topic formally, I would like to invite, if there are any, please take time.
Avasarai Bante, we have session one report today. With your permission, I'd like to present that, Bante. Dear Bante, I am 14 years old and have been practicing for 2.5 years. Please advise me. These days, I am really stressed about exams. So when I sit down to meditate, the room of nothingness is full of the stress. And because of that, it takes me a while to detach myself from it. As I keep watching it, I drift further from it until it is no longer my stress. However, as soon as I have detached myself from it and the awareness is on being aware, I come out of the state and start feeling stressed again. Teruvan Sarnai, Hasini. That's the end of the report, Bandhi.
Yeah, that means you know the stress, you know the opposite of the stress. That means the relaxation. So once the relaxation happens, stress can't leave. When the stress can't come into being, the relaxation cannot be. So each and everyone is reciprocal. And you have enough knowledge, your own contented knowledge, what to do when the stress happens, successfully or unsuccessfully, that's the only thing working. And whenever relaxation happens, your mind take off relaxation and search about something else and end up with the frustration or tension. So likewise, who is setting the agenda for the relaxation and the mindfulness or relax, the tension, I'm sorry, for the relaxation as well as the tension. So it is happening reciprocally, and during the exam time it's very conspicuous. Other times also the same. Maybe you have not noticed it. So therefore one thing that I can comment is that you have your own way to do away with the stress. So you are responsible doing away from the relaxation also. So the Buddha explained, see the end of the relaxation and the end of the stress. Both of them are very, very rational. So you may be happy to see the end of the relaxation, but may not be happy to look into the end of the relaxation. It's also equally interesting, equally hilarious. So therefore, whenever the relaxation sets in, see the end of frustration. Whenever the frustration sets in, try to see the end of the relaxation and how frequently they are happening. They are completely independent, completely sovereign, and completely contented. And that knowledge is universal. You are at the age 14, 2.5 years, you may be understanding the shades of this meaning, but you can express now. At my age and 14, it is not a subject matter for me. Maybe I don't know how to express it. Maybe it is not come up to the conspicuous level. So therefore, keep on a track. That is, we call journal maintenance or bookkeeping, and focus your attention to the end of the tension and the end of relaxation, and you will see how your mind, how your rationality is cheating you at the end of the relaxation. You see, relaxation is boring. Relaxation is very monotonous. Relaxation is losing the boundaries. So you are searching for something hilarious, interesting, and boundaries, and tension, frustration, So that is ultimately it goes viral, it becomes a storytelling, fabrication, and you are again bogged down in the tension. So please observe the end of the relaxation and the end of the frustration. Both of them are very, very interesting, and both of them are not yours. They are really Dhamma. So please, this may not be the best time for you to have that report, have that project, but other times it is not conspicuous. So you are not, get passed in the exam, but definitely you will be a successful human being with the common sense, and you will be genius. Please give attention to see the end of the frustration as well as the end of the relaxation. That is my analysis.
Awesome.
You have to tap and see.
Okay. So for myself, when some stress or other strong emotion like that is exerting a strong influence on my mind, I remember that my main task, my main business is to know my main primary object. When there's some strong emotion in my mind, I take as my primary object something very simple, just my posture, the fact that I'm sitting. And when some strong stress comes into my mind, I remember my main business is just to know the fact that I'm sitting. And then I remember, usually awareness comes back right away that I am sitting. So I remember that whether I'm stressed or whether there is any strong emotion is not nearly as important as just the simple knowledge that I am sitting. Am I doing that correctly, Bhante?
So I will accuse you, telling that you are always welcome in the relaxation, not the stress. You are biased.
Who likes stress? I'm a normal person.
But this girl, Hasita...
It's unpleasant.
No, that Hasita is not so.
Hasita?
That who wrote that 14-year-old just wrote, no such discrimination. I mean, less discriminated. I have stress. I have the relaxation. So I can ask to let it shift without the primary object. Without the function of the mindfulness. Mindfulness is just observing, not the primary object at the relaxation or point of the stress. But see, they are changing the facet, and you take a distance observation how relaxation is going out and the tension sets in. And from the tension to the relaxation, as you mentioned, you can go back to the breath or you can go back to the sitting posture. And then you still, Dhamman has to observe how the stress is going and how the relaxation is setting in. So if you utterly engage in maximizing the primary object, you will not change the shifting. So my invitation is, do that. I think it is understood. While it is happening or while it is doing, just see the facets, how the tension goes and the relaxation, because they are exclusively different two things. And shifting is the tricky thing. And shifting means setting in of something and disappearing of something. So out of that, the Buddha got escape because he managed to see the Nirodha, the cessation, the wearing and tearing off. So wearing and tearing off of frustration is good, but the wearing and tearing off and the cessation of the relaxation, no one can appreciate. So that means mind is already biased, mind is already with the preconceived ideas, so therefore we have to think it in a philosophical point of view. Theoretical point of view, both of them are interchanging, now you are doing within your capacity, let them play. And who is selecting this is good, this is bad? As far as selecting, you are not buyer, you are not balanced. So have a choiceless awareness. Let the changes happen. When it's happening, see your contribution in terms of mindfulness and in terms of the primary object. They are primary tools. But now mindfulness is not taking care of taking the pivot of the primary object. Instead, see how the shifting happens, and that is also completely beyond your control. So unless otherwise you are sharp enough, you miss the bus. And that shifting, that changeover is not human. It not belongs to you. But you can observe it and you can report for others. We are happy to listen. And you have to understand at the beginning I had the liking for the relaxation and the distinct for stress. But cessation of relaxation is such an interesting thing. How the tension sits in and how much your mind is happy with tension. Mind is utterly responsible. And that is what we call storytelling, fabrication, and your liking and disliking, your directed dispositions, your personality traits, and your scripts in your mind. And you think they are the norm. You think they are the accepted thing. No. That must be questioned. That must be questioned. That is what the yogi, that is what the mindfulness, that is what the choiceless awareness means. So you are going to higher order mindfulness. Okay, are we to go into the book? As far as no other comments, I would like to invite Venerable Buddha Rakita to continue from the last.
Yeah, it's a wonderful report. A wonderful report here this morning because it's very timely and it'll help illuminate the teachings that we're about to hear. So we're coming to the last three verses of this Paramattika Sutta, the Supreme Sutta. And again, just to remind people, this is what the Buddha had to say to the disciples after the occasion of the king having an elephant inspected by a number of different blind men. And once the men had inspected the elephant, they reported their experience of what the elephant was. And then they began to dispute with each other about the nature of an elephant. So they thought that the elephant, one thought the elephant was like a column of like a temple, or another thought it was like the tail, or another thought it was like the fan used for chaffing rice or winnowing the rice, and another one thought it was like a wall. So this is the final three verses, and we did actually touch one of these the last time. So I'm going to just start with the seventh verse. Not even a subtle notion is formulated by him about what is seen, heard, or sensed. How could anyone here in the world categorize him, that Brahman who does not cling to any view? So again, this is just like that report this morning where not even a subtle notion, or as Mahatera was describing it as, not even a subtle storytelling is formulated by her about what was seen, heard, or sensed. So those unpleasant feelings that were seen, heard, or sensed, there was no storytelling about that experience. So not even a subtle storytelling is formulated by her about what is seen, heard, or sensed. How could anyone here in the world categorize her, that Brahman who does not cling to any view? So naturally, when we are confronted by uncomfortable feelings, and when we have pleasant feelings that are passing away, when we have unpleasant feelings that are becoming more pronounced, we cling on to views. Why me? Why me? Why? I don't deserve this pain. I don't deserve. Where is my comfort going? Or as Venerable was saying, like it's very interesting to see the passing away of pleasant feelings. It's very very interesting to see. Of course, we're delighted to see the passing away of unpleasant feelings. But to be equanimous, to be someone who here in the world doesn't categorize these experiences, doesn't categorize them, meaning like that's bad, that's not good, I don't like this. Where they're free from such categorizations, they don't cling to any views. I don't deserve this uncomfortable, unpleasant feeling. So that we don't get into this fabrication of stories. Not even a subtle story is formulated by her about what has been seen, heard, or sensed. So the next verse is the final verse. They do not construct. They have no preferences. Even the teachings are not embraced by them. A Brahman cannot be led by good behavior and observances. The impartial one, gone beyond, does not fall back. So again, the Buddha is repeating that it is the nature of these wise people to not construct or to not fabricate around their preferences. So constructing and fabricating is this like whinging, moaning, telling stories or you know, complaining and so forth. That's on the negative side. And then on the other side is lusting after, you know, I'd really like this, you know, if I only had that, then I would be happy. So this is being free. That's reflecting a freedom of choice. A freedom of choice is like if you're very wealthy, you can have whatever you want. That's a freedom of choice. But here the Brahmins are free from choice. They're free from, you know, likes and dislikes. They're free from wanting and not wanting, because they're not fabricating and they're not constructing and they're not creating preferences. And even the teachings have not embraced them. So here they're particularly talking about these wrong view teachings, these teachings of the different ascetics that were disputing with each other. But even ultimately, if you look back at some of the other suttas, the Buddha talks about how we have to take the Dhamma, take the teachings as like a raft, as something to cross the flood, to cross the flooded river. And once we reach the other side of the river, we leave the raft behind. So even the Buddhist teachings itself ultimately have to be left behind. So when we're in that state, like our 14-year-old student was in, where you're contemplating and meditating and your mind is being assailed by the different stresses and worries and concerns, like, I don't like the exams, I have to study, I'm not very good at my studies, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know, maybe the teachers will give me a bad mark, and so forth. All these like fabrications and stories that are going on in our mind, then we have to leave those behind and not develop a preference. Yeah, it's true, I'm not a very good student. I have to leave those preferences behind. And I have to leave behind even these teachings of, you know, of the Buddha behind. Instead, I have to have this equanimous state of mind where I just know what's happening in this present moment. So a Brahmin cannot be led by good behavior and observances. So even good behavior and observances, for instance, that can be just a distraction where you're just sitting in meditation and then you think, oh, I should do a puja, or I should do give a flower offering to the shrine. You can see where people come to the temple, they make a great effort, but then instead of developing calm and peace, they just get busy doing some other things. So they're not actually, they're being distracted by even good behaviors and observances. So this is disturbing their impartiality. They're not even sitting down to develop calm and peace and quiet and tranquil states of mind, because they're just getting busy, you know, being busy. They want to be busy. So they think it's superior to be good busy, to be involved in good behaviors and observances, when in fact it's just good, best to be not busy at all and impartial, gone beyond and does not fall back. So here, gone beyond means to become enlightened, and to not fall back means to be in an enlightened state such that one doesn't return to the rounds of suffering. One becomes fully enlightened, and ultimately on the passing away, one attains parinibbana.
So the commentator also take the other extreme of that arahant, completely realistic, the completely theoretical maximum model. Mm-hmm. But often I find there are in between, that sometimes we are carried away by the relaxation and tension. Sometimes you know from the relaxation to tension shifting, tension to relaxation within your capacity, but again you may succumb to the waves. So likewise, yogi or Brahman in the practice, it's experiencing all the three. Sometimes we are completely taken away by the wind. Sometimes you just manage the ship. Sometimes you are fully successful. But commentator, they say either you are completely wrong or completely correct. There is no place for the practitioner. So in my life, I am not claiming I myself as an arahant. But I am telling, I am definitely know sometimes, some places, I am choicelessly fully successful. But next moment again, I will suck up. At that moment, I am very happy to share with others. Then they will think, oh, you are talking like that, you are an arahant. No, no, it is kind of a fabrication. But I knew at that particular moment, at that incident, I was so happy, I am happy to share. I had no choice. So, that, you know, you are interested in that climatological crisis and how is the mindfulness. I got an article I would like to share with. And he says how it affects the consumerization. When the mindful person and the unmindful person is luxurious and the consumerization, but the how mindfulness is make you moderate. You use utility value. You use, you're not, maybe sometimes you are luxurious, but naturally you learn how to say enough. So I read, of course I had no complete thorough reading, then I told, the going to the forest. At the beginning, the Buddha is asking, sit under a tree. Going to a solitude place itself is understand the macro level with the nature. And then when you are meditating, you are consuming less oxygen. And you are emitting less carbon dioxide in sitting. And when ultimately many people say, I can't feel breathing. So that is the consumerization the least. But it is not to make you paralyzed, not to kill you and freeze. And sometimes you can see, at that time, what a contentment. Even no breathing, in-breath, out-breath happening to the bare minimum, just enough to have the idle running. You know, idle running in the engine, car, not running, and it is running. And so that many do not happy to take this as a combination. So yogi, whenever someone is talking, you are careful listening. Not talking. Maximum results. Verbal, physical and mental, you calm down. And that is what the maximum contribution to the nature. And present day, go-go show, the rock and roll dance, rock music, everything is make you agitated. And sex, dopamine. Drugs, all ultimately you collapse into, liver gone, heart gone, finished. So instead burning the candle in the 1 week rather than the both the ends. So instead I wrote, yes, that idea is good, how consumerization and the mindfulness working. So I find I am such a craving person. I am chasing behind anything if I need. But I can understand now, even if it is achieved, ultimately you are consuming only little, but you are wasting. So Tara promised me, I will write an article. I gave a few points. I told this is what the simple living, high thinking, going to the forest, and you consume oxygen less. While you are walking barefoot, hit the highest maximum satisfaction just by walking, not to run to the train. Not due to the train or rain. You're walking and you see, you get earth. And this is not literally accepted scientific facts, but we are experiencing it. Being a forest monk. And Venerable Dhammika, at that time, 1977, and I'm a robust young man, he says he knew a Zen master known as Cat. And when he's climbing in the aerodrome, he's just like climbing like a cat. Wherever he looked, everything is happening like a cat, but full of energy. And he can kill any person, behave like a cat. So that is the way the Buddha is having power of 16 elephants. Never fight. Never fight. And he's scanning four yojanas. Whatever happening, he knows, but he's looking at 6 feet above, ahead. And while happening, everything, the radar is working. When you are busy and kind of thing, your radar machine is finished. You are focused on the hearing or listening or seeing. But the Buddha is looking like a floating, like a cat. And everything is happening. So that is a kind of a least consumption, but the highest alert. And that is mindfulness. I would say this, I won't say it is mindfulness. It is the maximum of mindfulness. So we are learning how to stop the machine, how to run the idle running, and that I think the best for the climate. Because we by being a one split second mindful, we are definitely contributing to the warming world, global warming, and least amount of waste matters, and concern about the climate, and even the others are destroying, no harm. I am mindful. I can do something. I am not hating the, hey, guy, stop chopping trees. And No. You do as you like. I know how to compensate it. I take more time in the mindfulness. And therefore, that kind of awareness going to give a radical answer to the present day UN and UFO and WHO organization. They are groups utterly messed. But you are sitting under a tree. So definitely you can verify, and definitely it is under your control, and you have to tell, hey darling, it is not an international company, it's an individual. You be here and now, slowly, mindfully, silently, and you are in a silent revolution. Please continue. So this is what it says, passi tapas tassi da ditte cha sute muteva Pakappika anatti anupi sanya. It is translated, of course translated is quite heavy. E yam rahatmanakat. Then he says the perfect saint. This is not in the Gatha. Gatha says the quality, not the person. It says no, that's rahatmana passa. Samudhyadiyu, no. E rahatmana to rupayatana sankhyata drushtiyai ho. Sruta drushti ho, muta drushti ho, tanna drushti vishin, pakalpitahu, anumatu. Whenever he is purely verified in ditti, views, and heard, and this thing, then upon such a lack of ditti, he is not having storytelling. For lack of listening, lack of hearing, he don't have any kind of ditti. It's an utterly fabrication here. No such theatrical maximum he is talking. This is something experienceable in here and now in our day-to-day life. As far as you are not taking what you have seen as me and mine and myself, that will go on forever. Whatever you heard, by listening you are hearing, after that you are finished. Whatever you touch, and it is not happening only for arahant. When you are looking at, your hearing is arahant. When you are hearing, your seeing is arahant. You are 1/5, 1/6 is not arahant. 5/6 is already arahant, each and every time. You have 6 senses. Only one is working, that is not arahant, others are arahant. So people are not happy to tell like that because they say that making the arahantship cheap. No, you have to understand when you are listening, what happened to the hearing, seeing of visual objects, null and void. And that comparison is sometimes in the Mahayana tradition they explain. But many places they don't consider this as yonisomanasikara. But I think in the Chappanaka Sutta, 6 animals running others into their own domain and their own food. And they are not concerned. When the eye is taking the upper hand, they are not concerned about the interests of the ear, nose, tongue. Not leave aside the cabinet ministers and the government. Within you, wild beasts. And if you are, everyone is tied to the body, they can pull to a certain extent. Then the body become the anchorage. Oh, that is how you say each and every time you are misled by one channel, other 5, that means safe. So therefore, take care about the misleading one. Whatever you know is a result of misleading. Other thing which is not making news, perfect. So if you know that, and you are still that, you are not making frustration about the only known thing, even the breath, that means you are perfect. That known thing also neutral. Known thing is a repetitive thing, no taken for a ride, no storytelling, no fabrication. that I am slow observing the breath, yes, then what? That means you are safe in the eye, the ear, nose, tongue. Body is only the breathing, and but the mind also not so. Though that means you can understand the arahantship while you are utter commoner, upon the fractional. That is never given in the Attakatha. See, either perfect arahant or perfect imperfect person. So Venerable Dhammika used to say, my teacher is perfectly imperfect. He's the last disciple of Venerable Dhammapala. I like him because he's simply smiling. He's not a serious academic person, not meditating, a simple person, perfectly imperfect. So, and Venerable Guttasila used to say, we must agree to disagree, no problem. We discuss in a table, and what he is telling, we agree, I am going to be a disagree with you, no harm, our friendship is there, dialogue is happening. And the Lao Tzu, not the Lao Tzu, Huang Fo, he says, have an appointment with the disappointment. Finished. So these things we can find in the Zen tradition, and these things find you can sometimes you find in the Theravada, the Sutta Nipata, first Kagavisana Sutta. People don't touch them. They say they are no, they are incomprehensible. This is something different. We wanted to have a linear relationship. This is of course a matrix. So therefore, you have to understand this opposite is not so bad. Opposites also have some their own tap, their own touch, their own rationality. But we are not concerned them because of our script. He says, no, you are not in our table. You get out. You are bad. There is no progress. So therefore, ditta sutta mutta, no, pakappita. Pakappita means fabrication. Prakalpane. Prakalpane is sometimes considered nowadays as artificial intelligence. Very sorry. It is pakappita. Sanyama anusanya. Buddha says all your prakalpana, that is prapancha, mental proliferation, depend on the sanya. Your perception. Perception, what to put into your parents, what put into your brain. Your teachers put into your brain. And the religious masters. So you consider them as a sacred and secret. And your own reaction and action is coming through these scripts. But your friends can understand. Mindfulness can understand. So you have to tell others, please, observe me. That is what happened at the after 3 months of Vassa, dittenama, sutenama, parisankayava, vadantumam ayasmanto, pasanto, patikarisami, anukampang upada. If you have seen, heard or suspected about my misbehavior, Bhante, please tell me. If I also can see it, I can correct it. But if you're the partial one that I can't see, I'm sorry, but I'm inviting you, please. We have lived three months together. Pandita Sahib says, this is the highest culture. Asking another practitioner, please Bhante, dittenava, sutenava, parisankayava. Anukampang upadaya, pasanto patikarisami. If I also can, if you can convince me about my mistake, that is the way I start the recovery, the answer in the question. Otherwise, no, you have nothing to deal with my this thing, it is my personal issue, why you are coming at me? Then we are not monks. We are not vassa. It is not Vasa. We are living so openly and inviting. And what a kind of friendship, what a kind of brotherhood. And therefore, we are not putting scripts into the other mind. So, Venerable Dhammika told, don't interfere other psychologists. It's a crime. Don't convince someone. That's the worst case in the human mind. No, we have no such an idea. We are just sharing. Ultimately, mind will... Of course, it is defiled mind, will take a relaxed decision rather than the tensed and conditioned decision or my brainwashing. So this is very serious, talking about the deep bottom things. Thank you for selecting the sutta.
Well, I think we're just very lucky that we've had the space in this wasa to take on these kind of deep suttas that are not normally discussed. they take time and they take consideration and reflection, and they take quite a bit of work of looking at the commentaries, but they're very valuable and very profitable. So I've benefited tremendously in this Wassa from these teachings, and though we discuss them here in the morning, you know, sometimes for many days afterwards I'm reflecting back on what has been spoken about, and sometimes we took 2 or 3 days to go through one sutta, like this one in particular. But nevertheless, it was worth chewing over and considering. So it's very beautiful. Like, these are maybe some of the oldest teachings of the in the Buddhist tradition, and their poetic nature meant that that the monks would remember them and then also recite them and then dwell on them, think about them for a long time. So normally we're used to reading and quickly consuming a large amount of information. These days is called the information era, you know, where there's so much information every day on the internet or wherever we can pick up on the news and on facts and on information. But in ancient times, maybe a monk would just remember 1 or 2 of these kind of verses and poems and just contemplate and dwell on it over a long period of time. So again, this has been a very rich wasa for me, contemplating and dwelling on these kind of teachings. And it's been a very fertile nutriment for my mind. So I'm also very grateful for having this opportunity. So even though we might talk about these things here and we might sound like we're the teachers and we know, but also this is maybe the greatest aspect of being a student is when you teach the thing that you're trying to learn about, then it becomes a very deep learning experience as well. So it's been very, very profitable for me to have these suttas and to have this time and to have this opportunity for a dialogue and a very considered reflection on these teachings.
So while you are telling like that, 2 things came to mind. The balance of the sutta, it says, whatever the view you have taken, you are to carry it away. At each and every ditti is considered in the commentary as Michha ditti. They are giving ditti. Buddha says ditti. Commentary says, this is talking about the Michha ditti. So we have to make a decision that Michha ditti is wrong. But the old ditti is wrong. So for that, Venerable Analio made a very, very, very interesting observation. He told in the Digha Nikaya, the first sutta, the Brahmadala Sutta, 62 dittis, and 49 dittis for the good samatha meditators. Whenever you have whatever may be above Nivarana level, you take either ditti. And balance 13 is for the wise people. So commoners have no ditti problem. And that is what you prepare this paper. When you are meditating, your ditti become prominent. Unless otherwise you are a blind person, you are not worried about the ditti. You are talking about the dollar price and the petrol price and the bread price and kind of thing. So when it is happening, so dialogue must be there. The other person must be tell that when the wound is clean for dressing, it is painful. So now the wound is open. So don't ask the doctor to don't clean it. Otherwise medicine won't work. So before the cleaning, before the dressing, cleaning happen. At that time the discussion is irritating. And the second point is, during the vasa, it happened me to think in sometime weeks about the environmental relationship with our mindfulness. So he suggested this sutta and he messed me up. I argued him telling, no, your interpretation is wrong. This sutta is correct. Context is correct. So I am making points. So we were sometimes 1 hour, 2 hour, fighting. But both of us changed. Slowly changing. My thing was, definitely I know, 26 years I was in Kandy, it's a semi-forest type garden, that's my birthplace. And 30, 40 years in this forest. So living in the forest itself is some kind of a liking for me. And the people says, I am destroying the forest. I am a pest. I am telling no. So while living, you have to tremble and doing this kind of, that kind of thing, like pruning in the garden. I mean, that is the way he says, very good example, the backfire. If the forest fire is happening, we have to backfire. We have to fire the forest. And Buddha is teaching us, it is not to destroy the forest. So, and the other people, some people have no notion about the forest. They are logging and chopping everything for the timber. So both of them are happening. And what is the role of the forest monk? We are not destroying, even the people are making stories. We are not timber merchants. And we are not happy with the logging down also. But still we are having some wrong concepts, wrong views. So therefore mindfulness, when we are doing answering it with non-reactional way. Not reaction with the ditti people, not reaction with the tanha people, kravi people. We just keep on practicing. Not all the time we are emitting the least amount of carbon dioxide. At the time we are working and kind of, at that time carbon dioxide going. But we know more than any person how long we can go to idle running and the least amount of carbon dioxide. Least amount of words. Least amount of thoughts. And we have gone somewhat above average to the idling process. So therefore people say we are talking about the idling, we are talking about the nihilism, we are talking about the non-functional. No, we are vigilant. We are appamada, we are diligent. Even the experiment it is, when the gamma ray is working, even in sleep. Even if you are in a sleep, it is in a high range. And you know mind is awake. Not sleeping like the dull, this thing, awakening happened. And even it is happening in the Tibetan monks, you are not mindful. They are having some other kind of meditation. So these things are measurable. Therefore, you are fully alert, but you are not concerned about what the others are telling and kind of thing. You mind your own business and be here and now, and mind is fully alert. So, how it affects the forest, how it affects the climate, I mean, link is not yet confirmed. So, I suggested, if possible, do. Not that we are threatening these theories. We have fully accepted, we have dedicated our life. Umbrella, it's a very good one. We can have a sip each. So that the experimenting is for the other people. You can take here. We are experimenting to share with others. We already know. But we are very happy, even the scientific linguistic people or religious people, we are doing something. But we are happy to share it with, but our language they can't understand. So it is happening. So lucky enough, all the papers written on environmental pollution now start to come. And I am reading and relating it, how it relates with the mindfulness. And Paramattaka Sutta, my argument was that they have not seen the elephant. And they have seen only part and parcel of the elephant and they are making decisions. They are partial decisions.
Whereas my argument is that you can never see the elephant. There are some things that are just too big that no one person can grasp and see them. So, you know, even the Buddha would say that there was imponderables.
No, seeing is the last moment at the parinibbana. So you see everything, that's the end. But the nibbana is you understand, you know, you don't see. That's enough. You have seen partial, and then we are arguing, knowing that partly we are blind. But that is no harm. We being monks, you are mokadda vendone. Methane arala thiyele. Meka arala thiyena pota dora. We being partial, and we all are blind people. You know Venerable Vappa's psalm? Venerable Vappa? Passanto pasati passantang apassanto pasati na passantang apassanti passanto jena pasati. Which is the Buddha came and told, I am Buddha, listen. No. You have practiced with us, you are normal. You are who are you? All the five ascetics made. But the Kondanya, the first sermon, second Vapa. And his deathbed, he made the comment, he says, eyed people can see others. Eyed and non-eyed. And the blind people can't see, even the eyed people are there, he can't see. He is blind. And it is very common in all the meditation centers in Burma. Passanto pasati passantang apassanto cha pasati. Eyed person can see the person with eyes and no eyes. But the blind person, even the other person having eyes, he can't see. So this is the elephant. So therefore, not seeing elephant is not a disqualification. At least we know we are talking partial. That understanding is, I think, science is failing to understand that. They are talking like the big shows. And Dalai Lama went to the Harvard University and he told that you are making a very big advance in scientific discoveries. If at all you are going to disprove Buddha, I will disrobe. He threatened. And then Richard Davidson and I think Valera, he told, you see, he's an utterly traditional man in the East. And he come and tell us, we scientists, that if I am wrong, if you prove, I will disrobe. But can we make it? Such a statement can't. Because we know science is correct. Wrong. Because he being a dedicated person, he's a monk. I am going to disrobe, if I am going to disrobe. But whatever we are disproved, science will not be relinquished by scientists. They can't, because they think science is correct. They think they have seen the elephant. That is why the today crisis. That is why today artificial intelligence. And we know it is not complete. Because after a while, 40 years, we are not complete in mindfulness even. So therefore we can see, but it is not a fault finding, it is not a criticism, it is not a destructive, it's a fact. So therefore even the king, he has seen the elephant, but we can't say the king is enlightened. But king can understand other partial explanation, and that can happen only when you have samatha and vipassana, when you have concentration and the wisdom, then only you can understand I am partial. Others are in Anyanupekha. They think, no, no, I know, I can get a degree, I can get a PhD, I can get a diploma, then I am okay. That is what we were thinking in the younger age, but we know MS means more shit. PhD means pile deep and high or permanent head damage. Now we know, but still, if possible, I will get a PhD. No harm. No harm. We know it is shit. So therefore, not seeing elephant is not the answer, but it's another viewpoint. But the king, he knowing he put the blind people, and he's a laughing stock. But ultimately, it's a huge philosophy. Huge philosophy. Okay? We can finish if you don't mind. Are we finished with the seventh one?
Yes. That's the end of that sutta. So we can start the next sutta if you wish.
No. I thought that is the one before the last. Though let me explain the single one, the last one. Na kappayanti na purakharanti dhamma pitesang na patichchatayo na brahmano silavate na neyo parangato na pachadi taditi. This enlightened being, but I don't consider that as an enlightened being, but commentary is given the enlightened being. He is not proliferating thinking along the views and the desire. Because if he's a perfect one, he is no conceit. But Sutta is giving enough room, even with the conceit, you can understand your ditti, you can understand your desire, and therefore it is... Commentator introduced ditthi and tanha, but there's no such a notion inside verbally in the Pali. Peratu nokota hasiret. They are not taking purekkaranto na kappayanti They are not therefore taking as the guiding line. They are as a beacon light. They don't do it. They said to Mishu Dhammu, the own machine, Nopali Gannarada, he don't accept any ditti, but he says don't accept wrong ditti. The commentator says they don't accept wrong ditti, but any ditti is wrong. The commentators are not so open. Maybe I am wrong or maybe the commentator wrong, I don't know. Sheena Srava, Brahmana Sheelavrutin Yali Kelesun Karan Opavini Hakuinti. The Sheelavatena Neyo. You will not be guided by morality then onward. That's a very dangerous statement. The morality is the one in the hidden curriculum in the education. They find fault with the lack of morality. But it says, now you go beyond morality. Specifically when you go to Vipassana, Sila, Samadhi, morality is fairly a guiding line, fence. But when you are Vipassana, you jump over. No peripheries, no boundaries, no this thing. Therefore, Brahmano Silavate na Neyo. Not guided by morality. Therefore, no religion. Religion aspects, values, only the moral values are there. Otherwise, you are superior, you are teacher, I am disciple. No, everyone is beyond the morality. But it is not with the full acceptance of the morality and understanding. So therefore, Brahmano, he has no morality. Parangato no pachadita adisi. He will never come back to this fighting world. Parangato, and he is unshaken. And unshaken because he is not concerned about the morality. Because he knows he is never violated. It is beyond it. So as far as this is there, Buddhism cannot be a religion. Religious value is always its morality. If there is no morality, and the atheist, they say, they have no fear for defilements, unhealthy things, because no God. And others say, even you are accepting the God, you are the most filthy thing on the earth. And you don't care. You are just using the God as a how do you call agenda. So likewise, the Buddhism is giving early Buddhism, the child and the sila. Of course, yes, it's a religious. But you come to the Samatha Vipassana, at the Vipassana it was beyond Udayabhyajana, everything and rising and passing away. There is no room for your morality to stay, and the mind become unsustainable, propped, not depending on anything. Appatitita manasa and anidassana manasa, you can't pinpoint it because mind has not taken any stand. So therefore morality, and Kalupahana is the philosopher, he tried to explain how the morality is evolving as the sila, samadhi, panya. But the religious people, dana, sila, highly emphasizing it's a morality. But when it is beyond, they lose their ground because they are not learning Buddhism for Nibbana. They are learning Buddhism for business. For them, morality is a commodity. But we being monks, we are not led by them. We are not astray. We know how much it's a morality. And beyond that, human mind, superhuman. It is the super being. At the time you go, again you can come and live with the other people, and again you can go there. That change is for the yogi, but when you are not returning, that you are fully arahant and dead and gone. So therefore, these parts are now coming. It is called unassuming, simple word, unassuming, this whole Atammeta Vutta Bhagavata. Venerable Buddha Rakita, Buddha, not the Buddha Gosa, Buddha, the one Thai monk, he talk about anatta. He says we can reduce whole Buddhism into atammeta, unassuming. Even sila, I am not telling I am a silavata. Even samadhi, I am not telling I am samadhi. Even the brahma, the panya, unassuming. Atammeta, when Jnananda gave some definitions or the explanation, no one explained it even. That unassuming quality is the what I try to see Venerable Jnanarama as well as Upandita. Upandita is assuming, and he's showing it off. But internally, he tried to live in unassumed way. But externally, he says, you are a disciple, you have to sit like that, yeah, blah, 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 blah. But he ultimately accepts, we are human beings. And when Jnanarama and when Dhammika directly told me, don't influence to other psychology. It's a crime. We are co-practitioners. Don't assume as a teacher. Just ask them, and whenever you have share, if they ask, you talk. Telling this is the limited capacity, but always ready to accept. Specifically when the Satipasala goes and the drug addicts people and the, all the street children or this climatic situation, but I am a beginner. Again, I have to learn. So therefore, the last one is very serious, but not a single person can give a good interpretation. I would like to, again, I will read it because of this interpretation because it's also really biased. It depends on these commentaries. Commentary says it is about Arahant, not the practitioner, not the commoner. Then Arahant is coming from the different earth, different planet, not evolving like. So we'll leave it at that level and next start with the next sutta. Hey, thank you very much for the participation. We are going to end the session. That means the end of the Paramattaka Sutta, and next time we will take Jara Sutta for your information, please.